They pop on meeting. They can introduce themselves. Aloha mai, everyone. Good to see you. Welcome to the Hawaii Island Burial Council meeting, Thursday, May 19th, 2022. I'd like to just call this meeting to order, and maybe we can do a roll call right now. And hopefully others will pop on. Go ahead. We can start with Mr. Kupono.
With Kupono, Hilo.
Nomen kaimaloa, kona.
Waiola higa, hamakua.
La Crivello, large landowner.
Letta Blakemore, representing Puna. And those from Ship D, could you please introduce yourselves?
Here, copy to SHPD.
Aloha, good morning, everybody. Tiare Elizara, Ship D office assistant.
All right, for now, that's who we have. Mahalo. Waiola, would you mind opening with a pule for us just to get us started? Mahalo.
Father in heaven, we come before you now. We pray thy spirit to be with us as we do our best to do what is right for our kupuna. And that we have a peaceful meeting and not too much contention. And pray thou bless the other guys, the other members of the burial council who are not here yet, that they get here. And it is in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hello, Iola. Just a little bit housekeeping. If you can, keep your mic muted. If you would like to ask a question, you can please raise your hand. We only would like one person to speak at a time. And we'd like everybody to be able to have a chance to speak if they want to. So those are sort of our small ground rules that we have here today. Okay, well, thank you, Iola. Let us begin. We have number three, item three on our agenda is minutes to approve the minutes for April 21st, 2022. And I didn't have minutes in my packet. I don't think they're quite ready yet. Is that correct, Kea?
Yes, sorry. I didn't get a chance to finish the written portion of the minutes, but the audio recordings are available online in the link that I sent them.
Okay. Awesome. We'll get them next month. Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll go on to item number four, business. We only have one item on our agenda today, so this should go pretty quickly. And it's item A, draft burial treatment plan for sites 24188, feature A, site number 24191, 24192, 24194, and 24196, Puapua'a to Ahupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 3-7-5-020:068. And this is for information, discussion, determination, recommendation, discussion and determination on whether to preserve in place or relocate human skeletal remains at the above location. Recommendation also to the State Historic Preservation whether to accept or not accept the above draft burial treatment plan. Okay, thank you. So we have Jack Kelly here to present the BTP that you put before us. Oh, you're muted. I'm sorry, you're muted, Jack.
That's what I, there you go. Jeff Silva, the landowner, is here to present. And then I'll answer any questions that the burial council may have.
Great. Just good to see the landowner here. Thank you. Good to hear from you, Jeff. Thank you.
Aloha kako. My name is Jeff Silva. I'm a born and raised Native Hawaiian from the Big Island of Hawaii, from South Kona, Mali. I am the proud owner of the 5-acre zone ag parcel located on Ali'i Drive of Puapua'a 2. I acquired the piece of property in late 2020, I believe right before the New Year's of 2021. And as you have seen before, myself, Walter Kelly, and Jim Madaris, we've worked very hard on this piece of land. There's a lot of significance on it, and it is, in my opinion, one of a kind, and it is one of the last of its kind, mainly because the amount of significance on the land, mostly everything around it has been developed. So when I acquired this piece of property, it was something that was, to me, for being a Native Hawaiian, it was a gem that had been there for a very long time, that had been very overgrown, that had been, in my opinion, somewhat forgot about, just because a lot of the things that were trying to be done there before me was very large developments, housing. Just the land wasn't going to allow it. So when I came on board and purchased this piece of property, my objective was that I wanted to preserve and honor what was there. And the first thing that we wanted to do was I wanted to learn what was there. And I went in, I contacted Walter Kelly and Jim Medeiros, and we put together a team of six people. And we went in there, and it took us about 2 weeks, and we hand cleared all of the sites that you mentioned from, I believe, total, all the sites consist of about 1.2 acres. And we went in there with machetes, knives, barrels, cans, and we just basically, we cut back all of the cactus off of all the sites. We moved everything to where now you can physically see, you know, what's there. And after we could actually physically see the burials of you know, how they were there, it really inspired me to where I wanted to do things correctly. And a lot of that was from the help from Jim Medeiros, just because he's so actively, he's so active in this type of, you know, with the culture. And he really mentored me and educated me, and so did Walter, with how to do this the right way. And so as of right now, everything that we've presented before the council, our plan is to preserve all the burials in place. We don't plan on relocating anything. And from all the sites, from our largest site, from 24188, consists of, I believe, it's close to 20,000 square feet. And we also have our monitoring plan and our preservation plan as well. And so that's kind of a quick introduction of who I am. And again, you know, moving forward, this is something that is not, it's not a housing, it's not a condominium development. This is solely basically for, it's for my ohana. It's for my kids, so that they have a chance to have something on Ali'i Drive. And it's, to me, it's an example that I want to leave behind for the community and for my family, that, you know, that it's a very special place. I would encourage everybody here at any time, if anybody wants to come down and see it. I'm very proud of what we're done down there, and I'm also very proud of what we're going to do down there. And so I'll kind of turn it back over to you guys. I'm open to questions or anything that you guys want to do. I'm open. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I reviewed the BTP and I have a few questions, but I'll let all the other council members go before me. If there's anyone that has questions they want to pursue, go ahead, Cliff.
So brother, just a question. Kanuhu Ohana, did you get some input from them about what you're doing?
Yeah, yes. Mr. Kopono, I've consulted with Jerome Kanuha, CJ Kanuha as well. The parcel that we own, or that I own now, actually before it consists of 20 acres, and then it was divided up. One 5-acre parcel went to Ali'i Gardens, which now is actually owned by CJ Kanuha. And what's really interesting about what you brought up is it's really neat seeing Hawaiian families to be able to, I want to say, kind of get the land back in a way. And working with the Kanuha Ohana is, it's always good because they're a big ohana, but I have their support. A lot of it because me and CJ and I are in part of the same ahupua'a, which is the Pua'a Ohana, which is basically all these, before it was cut up, it was one big parcel. And so it's really neat being a part of something like that with someone that I grew up with, a classmate of mine and a good friend of mine. CJ is very, very involved now, especially with planning and a lot of the things that he's doing, just one parcel over from mine. He's mentoring me and he's helping me as well, as and so is Uncle Jerome. As far as descendancy, I spoke to Jerome when I first purchased the property, asking him if he had any ohana or he had any descendancy that he knew of, which he happily declined and said no, he didn't. But he's also been very supportive with what I'm doing in there.
Yeah, hey, mahalo for all that you're doing, and hopefully that the council would use this case as precedent so that other landowners trying to work with the lineal descendants and cultural descendants can have some kind of sense of cooperation and, you know, make it easier on the council too. So yeah, aloha all that you're doing, and you have my vote. So
I appreciate it. Aloha.
Go ahead, La.
No, no actual questions. I did notice that in consultation, you know, you did talk to the Kanuhas, the Madeiros are registered and you've been working with them. And I also noticed you applied and you're in the process of seeing about being designated as the cultural descendant. So that's really positive. And reading through the BTP, it was thoroughly written. It addresses everything that needs to be addressed. It and as far as, you know, making sure that you made public announcements and multiple opportunities for descendants to come out, there was a really, really thorough effort on that part. And I think that's awesome. But more than anything, I would just acknowledge how special it is to have a Native Hawaiian who owns property going through this process and coming to the burial council and to Shifty, and for it to be land that it's not a development, just like you said. You're not, you know, even some developments that are locally done, it's for ohana that are from here. And as someone with ties to South Kona and to Mililii area, it's awesome to just see Hawaiians taking care of our aina and living on our aina in perpetuity for our children. So I have no negative comments on this BTP. I think it was really thoroughly done, and it's great to see. Not only was it well written, but it was done with the Native Hawaiian families, for Native Hawaiian families.
I really appreciate that, Law. It really means a lot. Again, well, you know, I can't thank Jack Kelly. I can't take anything away from him. He spent so much time on this, and you know, it's you know, to be honest, it hasn't been easy. I just want to brush on something that Law brought up. You know, just with a lot of the South Kona, you know, ohana ties that I have, especially down in Mililii with the Kaupeka ohana. I met with Kumu Mahina in Ka'imi a week and a half ago, and they said something to me that they don't come down to Ali'i Drive very often because they feel that there just isn't a place. They don't feel that there's a place for them. And when they said that to me, it bothered me when they said that, because it inspired me even more with something like this to have some sort of a piko, a center, so that, you know, that families, no matter where they're from all over, I'm going to use this land to bring people back together, because it is special. And if people like myself, don't do something like this, it will never be done, because we're losing parcels like this, and they're becoming more and more rare. And I told Jack and Uncle Jimmy this when I first bought the parcel, that I didn't find this piece of property. This piece of property found me. And the amount of connection that I've been able to have with this piece of property, there's been so much amazing things that have happened down there. Again, I invite you all to come. So I appreciate that, Law. I really do.
I think Uncle Norm put his hand up first, and then Waiola. Go ahead.
Hello, Jeff. Nome, kaimoa, kona. I want to congratulate you on your family, Kanaka, that been fortunate enough to acquire this land and be one of the very few Hawaiians that live on Ali'i Drive. And I live in Keoho Bay. I'm the only Hawaiian there. You can count on one finger. That's me, and I'm proud of it. And I'm glad that you, as a Kanaka, bring your family, raise your family, bring the Hawaiians, the locals back, you know, because I don't know what your background with financially. You must be rich or something, because the land is not cheap unless you are, you know, inherited from a mahele or something. But I congratulate you, brother. Right on. Thank you.
Thank you, Uncle. I appreciate that. I'm not rich. I'm so far from it. Again, you know, the circumstances of how me and my wife acquired this, it's beyond anything that I can explain. Like I said, people ask me all the time, to the point where I get, you know, a little frustrated in a way, because, you know, you think of Lee Drive, we get a letter in the mail stating that my kids and myself, because I've enlisted the property and the trust for them, that they're the youngest largest Hawaiian landowners on Ali'i Drive. And my kids aren't even full-blooded Hawaiian. You know what I mean? So the fact that we have something like this, I can't express it enough again, that I didn't find this land. This land found me for a reason. So, you know, everything that's been resting there has come with purpose. And so, you know, I appreciate everything. And again, you know, anything that you guys can suggest, I will absorb and I'll utilize it. So I appreciate you guys.
Go ahead, Viola.
Yeah, I want to congratulate you. I think this is probably one of the best treatment plans I've seen. But I have two questions. Has there been any lineal descendants come forward? And I probably not, but I just was wondering. And the other thing is, I was looking at this Appendix A, the Descendant Access Plan, the agreement. I was just reading the license granted hereby shall be personal to those descendants who have affixed their signature to this agreement and may not be transferred or assigned without the prior written consent of owners or their designated representative. You know, I just was wondering about that. And then I see there's a section on designated or representatives. But you want to, first of all, was there any lineals? And then can you explain the agreement a little bit more?
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, this is Jack Kelly. No lineal descendants came forward because we don't know of anyone who can actually identify one of the graves. Yeah. So Jeff is will clearly be, I think, accepted as a descendant. Jimmy and his family are descendants of the Aupua'a and got himself certified through the burial council. The descendancy agreement is a little bit overblown for this situation, but the descendancy agreement is something that I created when we created a working group up on Mauna Kea, Dave DeLuz's land up on Mauna Kea. He was going to create this big development, was a 500,000 acres or something like that. And we worked with Mr. DeLuz with the descendancy group I did and Jimmy, and we created an agreement where that made it manageable for a pretty large group to sort of break down some into like an administrative group where everybody who was going to want to have access or had the right to access signed on to the group, and then they elected a representative to call Mr. DeLuz when they want to go. And so I don't think we're really in a situation like that at Jeff's place. Jeff is very open to have people come visit, you know, and I'm sure he'll take anybody's phone call that desires to come visit. And it's just kind of a legal format that I created for a larger group that we decided to use. But it's up to Jeff how he administers that.
Yeah, sorry not to interrupt, Jack, but exactly what Jack said. I mean, the process of this, trying to find the descendants, I mean, that was probably one of the more lengthy processes trying to figure that out. But even because I did the process, and we, you know, we searched all the counties throughout the state. You know, there's a lot of people every day that are doing all this, you know, descendancy, you know, trying to figure out who they're related to, trying to connect. I would never deny anybody access on that property, especially even somebody that was curious. And I know that's going to happen, obviously, because of just where I'm at. And to me, it's just kind of accepting that I believe that that's part of the process. Even someone that is maybe necessarily not a descendant, but wants to learn more about the land, I would invite that. I want this to be something, again, that's just a place that people can come to, and you know, it can educate the Hawaiian culture. And I feel that, you know, we definitely did as much as we could looking for descendants, and if descendants came forward and were interested in what was down there, I would have no problem inviting them.
Thank you. I don't have any more questions.
Thank you, sir.
Uncle Des, good morning. Desmond Haumea.
Aloha.
Have any questions?
No, just some really some memories. Some years ago, was invited by our Ohana, the Kanuhas. Zachary called me and my family to come down and to bless Keola Nahihi. And that was part of the discussion, that property you were looking at, that you purchased. But you know, it's not a congratulations, my kai kuleana, what you've taken under your control and following the pathways of our kupuna. Just the name of the street alone, Ali'i Drive, says a lot. And for you to perpetuate that pathway, it's my kai. Yeah, mahalo te akua, mahalo for you.
Thank you, Uncle. I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, there's no other members that have questions. I have a few. First, yes, congratulations. It's really nice to find our Hawaiians taking back land that used to be ours and having that be a part of our reality again today. So it's really a joyful. I'm very excited for you and your family. I just had a couple little questions for Jack. It's just Manini stuff in the BTP on page 29. There's a nice map of the surveys that happened and surface collection. But I just wondered if you could put on the map who created this map and when it was made. So we know, because there are so many different surveys between cultural surveys, ASM, Alan Hahn. And just for me, of my curiosity, I would like to know between 2004 and 2022 when that map was generated, and what firm created it on 29, if that's possible.
Certainly. That came from Alan Hahn's 2004 survey of the property.
Okay. Do you think you'd be able to just put a notation on there for in the edits? Great.
Certainly.
And then
it's supposed to actually say that somewhere on that page at the bottom right.
Oh, it does say it?
No, it's supposed to, but
oh, okay.
Sometimes in
it
the
looks like it was a blown up too big.
Yeah, sometimes in the translation, things disappear. You know, the technical translation. You know, because okay. Everything I took from Alan was should say Alan. It should say Han 2004 on it.
Okay. Really believe it does. Awesome. I was just curious. Oh, there are so many different firms that were working on that property.
I just wanted to add it, just to add to what Walter was saying. You know, just because when it was very difficult, and I think Uncle Jim can relate to this because he was there through a lot of the hand clearing, but we were going off of these drawings on what was done back in 2004. And these, you know, these burials were so overgrown that when we actually uncovered them, and I truly, when we actually were able to hand clear and pull, you know, all of the debris and the brush off of this, we really got to see, to me, what it looked like when our kupuna first rested there. So the reality of the way that you're seeing it, all these pictures that were taken, that is what I truly believe what the burial looked like when our kupuna went to rest there. And being there with Uncle Jim so that he can see it and mentoring me the whole time is again why, you know, I believe in a lot of this. And, you know, the answer to your second question, after that we did everything, I brought Matt Clark from ASM back just about a month ago and walked the parcel with him. And we took pictures, we updated everything, we GPS, and we even went even further showing him possibly where we want to do future developments with, you know, with, you know, with certain things. And again, for, he was the reason why I brought him on board, because he's going to be my, he's going to basically be my archaeologist while we're doing the monitoring plan. And I asked him if he had any more concerns before he left. And he said he was very happy and very proud of all the work that we had done there. And so we've had quite a few archaeological surveys done, but the last one that we've done, in my opinion, has been the best one, because you could physically see the nature and the state of what all the graves, how they're actually intact in the shape that they're in. And, you know, lastly, you know, what we need to do, or what I need to do as a landowner, to preserve them.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, I know Matt really well, and I totally trust his the work that comes out of his office. So that's music to my ears. Yeah, so just maybe identify who the name Alan Hahn. I just have little stuff, Jack. It's nothing.
Sure, that's fine.
On page 31, because of my age, I can't read the font. Like, it is tiny. I don't even know what font number that is. I was just wondering, you can still keep the map size, but can you blow up the words for the older people in our council?
Oh, yeah.
Be careful how you use the word old.
Yeah, okay. Season, and the same season. With the next.
Okay.
The next page, too, on page 33. Like, if you just see the map with the font, really tiny. It'd be nice to have it bigger, just so as it's stored at SHPD, you know, if people ever want to look at this BTP in the future, they're going to have a really nice, easy to read, you know, maps and know who they are and read the text.
Right.
Great. Thank you.
On the computer, obviously, I can enlarge it easily, but it's not printing out. It's printing out pretty small.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I got you.
It's really small. Like,
it must be. I can look at it and go and largely go, oh yeah, well, you know.
Okay. All right, great. Okay. And then I too had a similar question that Wyola had about the descendant access plan. I've never seen anything like this before. It's like really different from what we've ever had in our BTPs, and I'm not sure if that's good or bad. I just know it's hard for me to understand. I didn't know what most of the stuff was saying. And as Cliff will be giggling because he likes legalese language, but like I was completely, I'll just, you know, expose myself to not knowing this type of wording, like the severability. I didn't even know who that was addressing or what it meant, or. And it all sounded like words, like a big word scramble, a word salad, really big words. And I didn't know what it meant, but.
Well, no, I used to work for a lawyer.
Okay.
poor guy.
No, he was a good lawyer, Judge Kim.
Okay. And,
but anyway, What it does is makes clear, like I said, when I created this, it was for an agreement between a group of descendants and Mr. Dave Deleuze. So I wrote it, so all his attorneys and stuff would feel comfortable, you know, in a lot of ways. That's why it's written in legally like that. I'll tell you, right now I'm in the process of writing an MOA between a landowner and Nalahele SHPD and the federal government. So I can tend towards that kind of stuff. But if you guys are uncomfortable with that agreement as written, we could pare it down. What do you think, Jeff? If you're uncomfortable with it.
You know what? I can see from most, well, we have two members that want to speak. I know Uncle Norm put his hand up and then Law. I thought I was the only one that found it confusing, and I'm willing to go with the flow of our group. So I throwing it out, I've never seen anything like this. And just for me, it was confusing to understand who was being advocated for. Is it the landowner or is it the descendant? It was, and because it confused me, it made me feel vulnerable. Like if I was a descendant, I would be thinking someone was trying to jack me. Mm-hmm. So, and I wasn't going to get my needs met. So that's just me.
Well, but actually, it's the other way around. I went the descendants getting jacked around. Right? Okay. So it's very, very clear what their ability to access the land is free and clear at all times.
Okay.
But, awesome. But it's also clear to that there's a process because the owner, because the gate is, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere, right? And so the owner, I don't know if he felt vulnerable or not. I don't really think so. I think he's pretty comfortable with the descendancy group. I think Uncle Jim is supposed to be here today. We haven't gotten here yet.
He's here.
Is he here? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I have, there was 25 or 30 people in the descendancy group. And so what we were trying to do was just have them designate someone to be the person to call Duluth when they wanted when and then any individual in the group wanted access and just get his permission rather than him getting calls from 25 or 30 different people. And so that was kind of the reason behind creating like a format like that. Okay. The legalese was to protect everybody. I could tell you when we were working in the Hokulea case, working on a settlement agreement, you know, a lot of the people that we had to work with, we didn't necessarily trust. Mm-hmm. And I learned that solid language builds trust. Solid language is solid for all parties, yeah? And that builds trust when you're dealing with people you may not necessarily trust.
Okay, thank you. Hold on, Cliff. We have Uncle Norm, then Law, and then...
I just wanted to speak on this issue of severability. It speaks to the breach of the contract. So under this burial plan, which is a form of dispute resolution, it's a mitigation plan. So the more language we have in the event that someone wants to contest, it's really set up for the Kanaka to come back to make any argument or whatever. It's not a one-time shot, pow deal. So it can serve people coming forward. I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Uncle Norm, did you have something, and then Law?
Yes, I wanted to ask just a question of how big is the parcel and what is your zone?
So to answer your question, the parcel is a 5-acre parcel. It starts at the border of Ali'i Drive and it goes Mauka all the way up to almost Kahakai Elementary School. In between my parcel and Kahakai Elementary School, there is a buffer of about 40 feet. I don't really want to get in too much back there, but it is possibly the the future for the Ali'i Parkway. I don't want to get into that because that's not really why we're here, but that is where my parcel butts up to, is up until that easement, depending on what they decide to do with it. Usable land, I've given up out of 5 acres, I've given up close to 1.3 acres for preservation, which is land that we basically are preserving. Again, we're not doing data recovery, we're not taking anything that's there, we're not removing it. That was, again, that was something that I believed in. I wanted to honor and respect all of our kupuna there. And we want to, you know, preserve. And in the event if something else is discovered, we also have a protocol and a format for that. But you know, to answer your question again about the ascendancy, you know, the terms and stuff like that, a lot of the language for me, Auntie, is a little, it's a little over my head. But again, I do also believe that it does in some way need to be protected, because when someone says that they're a descendant at that point can be anything. I could have a homeless person, or I could have somebody that physically wants to drive into the property without knowing, and they end up on one of my sites. And so again, it's I'm not trying to deny access from anybody, and but at that point, I do have to protect the sites and protect the land for what's there. And I do believe that there needs to be some type of a formality that if somebody wants to come and they want to visit, or they I'm all on board, but a simple phone call or email letting me know that they're coming is all I need so that they can go, and I would be happy to show them around.
How many buildings can you legally build on that property? That is my question. What is your zone?
So right now, oh sorry, go ahead.
RS5.
So we're zone 5 ag. Yep. So we're zone 5 ag. I believe we entered the application as a minor SMA, and we are allowed, I think, 6,500 square feet, Jack? We're allowed 2 buildings. We're allowed a farm dwelling, and we're allowed a residential household. And as of right now, I had to put a site plan together of some sort, just so that it would show the future development of what it would be. But that's what it would be. It would be a farm dwelling, which would basically be a building that would cater to, mainly help me taking care of the land with what's there, and also storage for things for my business. And then behind it would basically be a future for a house pad for my children to build something if they wanted to, but I don't know if it would happen in my lifetime. But that's what it would be, and I believe Jack can maybe fine tune that for me, but I think that is that's where we're at. We're allowed 2 buildings up to 6,500 square feet of building on there.
I just
want to
say, Uncle Norm,
you're allowed 2 houses per lot. Your whole lot.
Yes, correct.
2 residential houses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Norm, on page 12 of the BTP, you will see a map. It'll show you the site plan. It'll show you the multi-use boathouse. That is the first structure that would be getting put up. And he just described the house platform footprint that he doesn't know.
What page is that?
Page 12.
Okay, I'll end my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ma, did you have anything you want to add?
Just with regard to Appendix A for the descendant access plan, the agreement, I definitely, the jargon is legal, but I think it's important to have that legal agreement having a lawyer who looks over it and approves the verbiage is really important, because everything you say in that agreement is, going to legally disputable. So I think, with regard to your concerns, Colin, I do agree that it can be really overwhelming. We have to do that here at Hokulia. the legal side of it can easily be overwhelming for descendants. So my only recommendation is that you come up with a 1-page short descendant access guideline that you can give to descendants when they apply and they sign paperwork with you, and that it specifies, whether or not you're going to have, just suggestions. Sometimes you might want parameters for the normal time frame, but then you still provide that time frame that's out of the norm, and you just request a little bit more of a notice. So say you say from sun up to sundown, let us know this far in advance, and or give us a call at this number or email us at this number, and you're all good to go. And for night cultural practices that go on at night, because we do often have that for burials, right? You just have you have some guidelines on how that would look. And these are all things that can be talked about with and discussed with descendants prior to signing the paperwork. and giving them maybe that one page sheet that says, you know, very simple terms that everybody can understand and very clear cut. And then before signing that, they read that and they say, I agree to this. And then, you know, the agreement itself that they're signing does protect them, because I noticed in severability, it talks about, you know, or amendment waivers. You can't just orally say, oh, no more of this agreement. You know, you can't do that. And really that's important, is that they are protected in their rights to access. So I support the agreement, but would definitely encourage you to come up with like a half page or a page that you attach with it that is a little bit simpler in layman's terms for them, so that they don't feel, you know, overwhelmed, and so that when you give them that legal stuff, that distrust we have, yeah, as Kanaka Hawaii, when we see all this paper with legal jargon, we're kind of like, oh, I don't know, I'm not signing that, I don't know what that says. So just having that opportunity to make it real, build that pilina with them where you're making it a little less foreboding, I would encourage.
Thank you, Laura.
I just want to interject here. It's not our position to give legal advice. So whoever comes before us, whatever they have, that's their position. We're here as counsel to just weigh the petition relative to the best interest of what we understand this burial plan to be. So I would just caution you, I don't know where the AG is, they typically aren't on here, but we cannot get beyond our scope. So for our brother, you do whatever you think you have to do. You don't have to conform to anything that we say.
I appreciate that. And, you know, Law, to brush up a little bit more, I honestly do appreciate your input. And I will take that into consideration as well, because again, I don't want this to be something where I don't want it to be misleading for myself, and I don't want it to be misleading for somebody that's coming in. And I do honestly believe once I start opening the land up and caring for it more, I do believe that I am gonna have descendants coming forward, because I'm gonna encourage them to come forward. I want people to come in and see what we're doing in there. So again, I can see how the language, Mr. Kelly is in a position where he has to write something that's going to obviously protect me and protect the descendants. But it is something that I can put together, to at least acknowledge that someone that is going to come in, have some type of a forum somewhere for myself and for them, where they are going to come, at least a type of guideline that they can go off of.
Thanks, Law. That was a great idea. I like that idea.
I like it too.
Yeah. Well, I only have one more small thought about your house platform on that page 12. I saw that burial 24194, the little green border is starting to touch base into the footprint of the house. And I notice all the other burials have a nice distance away from the house platform. And if I had a magic wand, I would just ask, could you move it a couple more meters away from your house platform? If you can, because it would just be nice not to be bearing down on a burial, or look out your window and your kids look out the window and they're like, oh yeah, there's a burial right there. Just to have a little bit more space. And I could tell you, move it down closer to the 24196B. You know, it could be brought down just a hair, a meter or two. I'm not sure what the scale is, but just a little bit further down. It's just my only recommendation. But if anybody has any more thoughts or ideas, we have two items that we could vote on today, and one is to preserve in place. Oh, go ahead, Jack.
I was just going to say that the green circle is the 20-foot buffer around the burial site area.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the house pad is not going to, and that is going to be delineated by a rock wall. And the house pad is not going to enter into that. So even though it looks like it on the map,
yeah,
it's not going to be contiguous.
Something to add upon, Auntie, what you said, Kalena, is that Uncle Norman asked me a question, how far the parcel went up Mauka. There is discussion about the Ali'i Parkway that they want to push through. That butts up to the rear of my of my property, this discussion will come up with this council when that happens. And when that does happen, you will see the amount of significance that that parkway is going to go up against that would be encroaching on those two burials that are in the back, and they already have been back there. So again, we won't get into that, but I just want to again put that out there to you guys that, you know, we've, our whole thing with this has been, you know, the preservation of, try to protect, and the walls that we're doing, even for some of these burials, for how small they are, the perimeter of the walls are very, very large. And I worked with Uncle Jim on that specifically to protect and almost kind of go outside the lines to give the burials that much more room so that they have, that they have the space. And also as a landowner, I will be doing all of the, I will be doing all the construction and overseeing everything. And if anything even comes remotely close to any of the sites, you know, I will change my plan. It's gonna be that over anything else.
Yeah, and I love that you have a monitor at every phase of your projects, because that's so important. So thank you so much. Okay, well, so if we need someone to make a motion to preserve in place, and we can vote on that.
I'll motion that all burials identified on the property at Pua'a 2 Ahupua'a be preserved in place.
Do we have a second?
A second, Uncle.
Thank you, Uncle Norm. So we have Law made a motion, Uncle Norm seconded. Any discussion on this? Okay, I call for the question. All those in favor, say aye. Hold your hand up. Aye. All those opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you, guys. And then we have the next decision is the draft burial treatment plan. So I know it sounds like everybody's pretty, you know, they like what we have here. I had a few little baby comments for Jack on the font size and labeling the map from Alan Hahn in 2004 that's in there. And so we would need a motion, if you guys are ready and you want to make a motion to pass this BTP with those changes, recommendations of changes of the font size and the map title, we need a person to make a motion. Nobody?
I'll motion. Motion to recommend that SIPD accept the draft BTP with the minor changes suggested by the burial council.
Second? Cliff seconds? Great, thanks, Cliff. Do we have any discussion? Can we call for the vote? Oh, wait, go ahead, Wyola. You're muted.
No, I still have concerns about the agreement. I think Law was right. I think it should be a little simpler for us to understand. For me, that's my idea. But I think I like, but you know, like you want to make the fonts bigger, that's good with me. But I think for me, the agreement, the way it's written, I'm not for it. That's all.
Continuing in this conversation, we want the technicality included, because as this generation moves forward, hopefully we get smarter. So we don't want to write some simplistic thing where the duplicity is beyond the borders of the reason of the language of the law. So if that agreement was constructed with severability with that in mind, then that's the issue before us, which can be argued either way. But when it's just a simple vanilla kind of thing, you don't have a lot of wiggle room. So think about that.
Would the rest of the council feel more comfortable if we made a motion that SHPTE accept the draft BTP with the two changes, the text changes to the map and to the font size, along with a brief simplified descendant access description similar to the one that I had suggested.
No.
To be provided to the, but not, it's not a legal document. They're not signing.
Doesn't matter. Document. People on this council, you need to get your act together to step up to the plate to address these issues. If something you don't understand, then you don't belong here. That's my opinion.
That's your opinion. I have to agree with Wyola. I was waiting for our council members to step up with their concerns about the access for the descendants. And I agree with you, Wyola. It's confusing to me, and it's not because I'm stupid. It's just not something that is my forte. I appreciated Law's recommendation that that can still remain in this BTP, but that another document is created for the people that don't have law degrees, that can't read legalese. And I totally accept that. We all have a right to our opinions. Thank you. Go ahead, Jack.
Yes, I'll be more than willing to write a summary and not discard the agreement as written, but to write a summary that's more understandable to someone that, you know, that it just, the language is, you know, beyond the comprehension. Feeling.
Jack, if you write this amendment in the spirit of what you're looking to do, that would satisfy my question. But to reduce it down to just an arithmetic, simple type of explanation that could be torn up by any major law firm, to me, that's bullshit. Need a translation for that? That's not a legal term. So if you want to rewrite it, but allow for the breach, if there's an issue of breach, that's what they're speaking to. If any portion of this contract is breached, boom, the hammer comes down. You take that out of the language and they will hold you to the letter of your words, the letter of the law.
I understand that. What I'm saying is not to change the agreement in any way, but to add a summary in simple English of what it means.
You better get a legal opinion on that.
Well, I can do that. I agree. Because you don't want the one piece of language to inhibit the larger agreement that has the legal language in it that involves, that creates the protection on both sides, on all sides. I hear you. You don't want to turn that into a flat tire. You know, you want it still to be, that's the valid agreement.
Yeah, well, straight up, that's your client. You're working for your fee. All I'm saying is that bring before the council, make sure it's tight.
You got it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Law, for raising your hand and waiting. Could you please speak?
I'm from a very interesting perspective of being the culture liaison at Hokulea and knowing who Uncle Jack Kelly is and knowing that Uncle Jimmy is on here, I'm going to assume that Jeff Silva did not write this with just Jack, and that Uncle Jimmy had a very big part of making this BTP what it is, and as a descendant was involved in this process. I'm looking at the agreement, the legal agreement of Appendix A, and this other suggested document as two very separate things that are acknowledging that we as a community have to constantly maintain a bridge between this legal side of things and the community side. Because I read the agreement to whatever level I've come to understand it. I also understand that part of the largest problem in our community is that we can't assume that descendants are going to understand it. And so I really support having that additional document, but they are separate. One is going to provide us with that legal protection here in this world that we're living in that we wish we didn't have to have, but we gotta have. It protects us. And the other is making sure that we are still building that pilina, those relationships with the community. And nobody should ever have to feel stupid accessing the land of their ohana, right? So they're two separate documents. To be clear, we wouldn't get rid of either one, but we need both. That was kind of the suggestion that I'm making. And if Uncle Jimmy has any input on it, I would welcome it. You're a descendant. You've worked heavily with them. If you feel it's not up to your standards, please express those to the council and help us with maybe give us some guidance on whether or not we're having this discussion for nothing. Because if you feel like it's all good to go, then it's all good to go. and you're speaking for the descendants. And I also know, you know, with your relationship here at Hokulea and how heavily you've impacted the quality of our standards here and held us to those standards and protected your community. I value your input on this.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, thank you, La. Aloha, ladies and gentlemen of the council. I agree with the language. I agree with the paradigms and put forward. And I just ask you to look at the situation you had today. You had a homeowner, a landowner, a Hawaiian, that came to you with these burial treatment plans. I think he's been like incredibly transparent, and he's been incredibly supportive of everything that we believe in. Protecting the EV, protecting the preservation site, with hands clean onto the rock, everything. On that land, and we went over how we're going to protect it and all of the pieces that you were involved with. And I just think Jeff did an amazing job presenting his burial treatment plan to the council. I don't know if you guys see the difference between the developers presenting and one person like Jeff presenting, you know, where he's just being truthful about everything he said, willing to answer anything you need, and willing to provide all the pieces that you might need to make this a working burial treatment plan. So I'm in support of it. Totally. I support Jeff all the way. Thank you. Please. That's my mana of
Wow. I appreciate Uncle Jim a lot. Just one more time, I want to brush up on it. You know, Uncle Jim is a descendant. And right now we don't have any, you know, descendant plan. At any given time, you know, people could go down there. Uncle Jim is a descendant, and Uncle Jim goes all the time. I know Uncle Jim goes because he enjoys going down there. So that right there as an example is a descendant is already going down there and paying their respects. They've local people, Hawaiian people of the community, they've been able to do that on this piece of property for the last 100 years. It's just been neglected, and myself, Jack, and Jimmy have done everything up until this point into bringing this amazing piece of property back, you know, giving it a rebirth. And you know, from my standpoint, I'm not a politician. I went to Ho'okena, so it's my education is pretty minimal. But at the same time, I've worked alongside. I grew up with Uncle Jim. You know, his boys, you know, we've really done, and I've done the best I can, you know, language wise to understand this as well, because, you know, I explained this to Kea over at SHPD. This whole process for me has been educational. Part of the reason that I took this on was because I never learned about this growing up. Not a lot of us do. So I'm learning about this every single day. And, you know, the forum of the political side, like what Uncle Kapono is saying, there's a political side, and then there's a way of, you know, just doing things. And, it's a challenge for me. It's going to be a lifelong battle for me with this parcel. A lot of it where it's at, people just walking up, controlling the traffic. There's so many issues that I can keep, you know, arousing to this council, you know, to protect that land. But when it comes to a specific wording, it's difficult for me because there's a lot of things that I don't even understand. And even doing this whole descendancy research, there hasn't hardly been anybody that's really come forward. And other than the people that live down in the area, people that just not, I honestly feel that moving forward, the only reason people are going to come in there is because of what we're doing with the land, because it's positive. And I can't express that enough at this council that my parcel will be as open to as many people as I can put down to it, as long, again, as it's fair for them and it's fair for me.
So I think the question is, do we defer this burial treatment plan right now until we see an additional document that's separate from what we were just discussing and wait to vote? Do we want to defer? I personally am not comfortable yet wholeheartedly voting for it.
I move we vote on this issue.
Okay, that's one person. Anybody?
That's my motion. Is there a second?
We have a motion already. We're working on the first motion that we're, that's what we're talking about right now. We have a motion.
All right, well, you're being unclear. I thought we voted on two parts to one agreement.
We have a motion on the floor that was given by law already. So I'm just asking, do we want to go ahead? I mean, do we want to defer this? Or?
So she can repeat her motion.
Okay. I motioned to recommend that Shifty accept the draft BTP. And with the suggestions provided by Kalena for type or font size text on the map, and with the added or the addition of a more informal descendant access plan description.
Do the petitioners agree with that? You concur with that? And Brada, the descendant, are you guys good with that?
Jack?
I'm good with it because I'm sure I can explain in simple English the severability.
As a landowner, you know, I look at this council again. I come before you humbly today. I'm not going to single Law out, but, you know, Law is definitely one of the younger people, you know, on this council. And, you know, if she's recommending that she thinks that that's going to be beneficial moving forward for our generation and future generations, I do support it. So I can work together. And it's no disrespect to anybody else on this council, but it's definitely something that me and Jack can work on. I don't think it's a major issue. I think it's relatively fairly simple. And again, I encourage stuff like that because simply it's who I am, one, as a person. And number two, it does mean to me that much that when somebody wants to come and they want to do something there, I want everybody there to feel welcome. Whether they understand the language and the BTP or not, my main thing is that everybody understands when they come there that they're welcome.
Thank you.
Law, go ahead.
I'm gonna say this as a suggestion for future BTPs that come through as well. I think when I look at this process for us as council members, our responsibility is to come to these meetings prepared in that sense. And I think we all do come prepared, but I think what we weren't prepared for was such a thorough plan with an appendix that actually has the agreement in it. I think it's really great that this agreement is included. You don't always see this with descendant access plans that are submitted. That being said, I'd like to ask Kea, you know, the AG's not here, but do we have the ability ahead of the meeting, if we see something that we don't understand, you know, the AG's a lawyer, can we reach out to the AG ahead of time or contact you and say somebody needs to, you know, write this out for us in terms that are a little bit more comprehensive? Because when I was reading it, I'm kind of used to reading this kind of stuff at this point. So I'm reading it and I'm comprehending, but it's a legal agreement. It's legal jargon. So can we reach out to the AG ahead of time to put us in a better position to make these decisions at the meeting?
Yeah, definitely. So,
okay.
You know, if you guys did have, and you know, these are one of the things that the AGs kind of always talk about, you know, if you guys do have like a legal question like this, and they know ahead of time, they can prepare an answer by the time they come to the meeting, instead of answering, you know, instead of trying to, you know, they can do their research and stuff and have a prepared answer instead of trying to wing it. So in the future, if you do have questions, or even for this particular topic, if you guys have a, you know, I can send me an email, I can send it over to Linda and Cindy, they can either write something back before the next meeting or come to the next meeting with an explanation.
So that being said, I think that's good to know because I didn't think about that ahead of time. And I think if we know that now, it'll help us. So I don't know how the council feels.
It's simply an opinion. The AGs are going to give you an opinion. You've got to be able to understand those conditions to draw the conclusion. And we're not here for us individuals. We're here to represent the people that come before us. So they come today to petition for this thing to be accepted, but to get it caught up in something that you don't understand, that's the bullshit I'm talking about. So if the people who are here to petition are good with what they've said, then we either vote on that or we don't.
I'm going to say that from my own perspective, where I'm sitting and with what I read and understand, I still support this BTP. Obviously, as just one of the council members, I'm going to stick with the motion that I made. That being said, I also respectfully understand if other council members would prefer to make a motion that defers this BTP, and I'm hoping that that gives that this deferral of the BTP will be under the stipulation that those council members will contact the AG to receive the support that is needed to understand this, and with any other suggestions that you all feel would be necessary for you to feel comfortable with this BTP. That makes sense to me.
Thank you all. I was wondering, Kea, is there a way after, if we do approve this BTP today, if we can get a copy of the updated, new edition with the changes so that we could review it, just so we can see how it played out in the end?
Yeah, of course. So if you guys do make a recommendation today, you know, as long as what you guys are looking for is explicitly stated, you know, similar to what Law said, then I, you know, SHPD won't write an acceptance letter until those issues are accounted for.
Addressed.
What's going on here? We've got the consultant who addresses and is answering to the changes to be included in the offer, which becomes the contract. So why do we have to rewrite the thing when the petitioners have already agreed to the amendment?
I think it's that
I really don't care what you think. You're thinking too much.
Hey, stop bullying people, Cliff. You can just stop
bullying
anybody. Yes,
you are.
You're using profanity and you're interrupting people.
All right, well then, sue me.
No, just settle down and back off. Let's
do your role and add up.
I am. And you are just need to settle down. Tired of it.
So can I get an answer? If the consultant has agreed to the amendments and the changes, and he's saying he will provide that language, why are we delaying the process?
We have burial council members who are trying to make informed decisions, and whether you feel informed or I feel informed enough to make that decision is irrelevant to the fact that right now they don't feel comfortable or informed enough to make a decision on their own part as individual council members. So we should be respectful to the fact
member,
that they're trying to do their job
to the petitioners
properly.
For the stupidity of these other members.
I think that that's also inappropriate because I feel similarly to you in that I feel educated and informed enough to make this decision now, but we do need to recognize that they are trying to do their due diligence and be responsible as other council members.
Yes. Go ahead,
if it adds any clarity, if I could, I would be willing to put this out there. If it simplifies, the situation, I appreciate all you guys' time bringing this, to a happy end. I'm willing to make the changes with Walter upon the approval of the BTP. Obviously, it's going to be, it's going to be put over to Kea anyway. Kea's been on here. At that point, you can email you guys a change to the BTP upon the approval of the BTP that's been presented to you before myself today, Walter Kelly, Alpha Jimmy. A lot of you have said that you guys approved the BTP, just some of the language. I'm happy to simplify the language for you. Like I said, that's as a landowner, that's really at this point all I can really do. But I'm happy to simplify it for moving forward, for people to understand it. But again, I do believe that we worked very hard on this BTP. It's very thorough. And I don't think that something like this has to necessarily be done to change the BTP, but a note making it more understandable, I'm happy to put that inside our plan to make it more understanding for people that maybe don't understand the language, if that is any added help. But again, I appreciate you guys' time today.
Viola, did you have something?
Yeah, I want to say that instead of voting on something with the promise of a change, I want the change first and then I'll vote on it.
We can also make a motion to recommend with changes as follows, and we can list every single change we want to see. Then SHPD won't approve it until those changes are made. But it does keep our guests from having to come back and they could make those changes as quickly as next week. And as soon as those changes have all been made, we'll be given it. We can see it. We can even include changes as follows. One of our changes could be the AG reaching, reading over it, providing us with a new, you know, something for you guys to read. We can even include that. We just have to be very specific, like Kea said, if you want to do it that way. We don't have to, but it is a good way to make sure those changes happen versus us deferring it and then coming back and missing changes that we asked for.
I don't believe it's going to be any problem if we do wait for an attorney general's opinion on this.
So Jeff, you need to get a legal opinion and come back with that the next time you come here. And I apologize for their ignorance of this council.
Well, so what we can do is call for this vote and abstain or vote no, Wyola, because I think I'm going to abstain myself and wait for the changes. And then we can defer, or you can, yeah, let's just go with the motion that's on the floor that Lodge has presented. All those in favor, say aye.
You want to repeat the motion, please?
Kea, can you repeat the motion or Lodge?
Thank you. Kea, did you write the motion down? I can repeat it, but.
Yeah, if you could repeat it, please.
I motion to recommend Shifty accept the draft BTP with changes as follows. I'm just going to say it a little differently, sorry. The map text added to the bottom of the map, the caption, I should say, the font size change. And I believe that was it for my original motion.
Let's call for the vote.
Okay, let's call for the vote. All those in favor of approving this motion, say aye. Raise your hand and say aye. We have 2 of 3. All those opposed? All those that abstain. So we have 1 opposed and 1 abstain. So that gives us 3 people. What is that, Kea? It passes or?
Yeah, so that passed. So just to be clear, that motion didn't include any changes to the descendant axis, right? It was just the map captions and the font size change.
No, and a document, a side-by-side simplified document.
Sorry, I didn't include that in my restatement. My original statement of the motion was, I'm trying to remember it also. Sorry, I said it a couple of times and I said it differently each time. I did forget to mention the additional document, the descendant access plan. I stated the motion a couple of times, so I don't know how we want to get into the logistics of that.
So with the first and the second statement, your first and second motions is fine.
And sorry, there was a second to the motion, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the majority of us voted.
Motion passes. Yeah. There you go, Cliff. Motion passes. Thank you, Jeff and Jack. And Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for coming in.
Thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate it, all of you.
Thank you.
That is really the last item on our agenda. We have B, discussion on Hawaii Island Burial Council membership roles, responsibilities, information, and discussion. Is there anything?
The only announcement I have right now is that Nale is no longer on the council. And so he may reapply at a later date, but he had some other issues to address. So Nele is no longer on the hook. And I think maybe, you know, with that said, at our next meeting, if you guys want to get, you know, prepare yourself to a new chair. And
is that something that we vote on?
Yeah.
I don't. Okay.
Yeah, you're gonna vote on that. So the process we did last time was you guys do nominations, anonymous nominations. You can send to me, and you know, I'll put that out who you guys want to vote for.
Okay, thank you. Our next HIBC meeting is Thursday, June 16th at 9:30, West Hawaii Civic Center Conference Room. And we also will have the online via Zoom access for those that can't make it in person. That is the end of our meeting for today. Can I have a motion to adjourn this meeting, please?
I make a motion to close the meeting.
Thank you, Uncle. Second, Viola, thank you. All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, say aye. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Good luck with all your new property, Jeff.
Thank you, everybody, for your guys' time. I appreciate it again.
Someday, I might, if we're driving down, I might like knock on your gate and say, hey, I want to come take a look.
Moni walked. Just come right in, Auntie.
Thanks for the good work. All right, everybody. Take care. Well.